This close connection between a city and its patron deity could cause problems when a city was captured or attacked, or in a worst-case scenario, destroyed. Because you can't have your city protected by a deity and then be left to be destroyed by an enemy. So it causes an irreconcilable chaos when a god is supposed to protect your city and somehow your city is destroyed. The texts that survive address this question directly and usually explain the destruction of the city by the fact that a patron deity left or abandoned the city, often because of the impiety of that particular ruler. This makes sense because the ruler, because of his close relationship with the gods, would be an easy target. Clearly, the ruler would be the individual who could most easily anger the god, drive him or her away, thus opening the city up for attack. If a city was attacked, usually happened that the ruler was killed or captured or abandoned, and so we can see that this divine retribution would play out in a very logical manner. Kings would sponsor the building of temples because of their close relationship or repairs of older temples as a way to represent their piety and their relationship with the gods. Rulers are always described in texts as being chosen and approved by the gods. And as we discuss the development of kingship, we will come back to this idea and see specific examples of it. Building projects, as we've discussed at various points along the way, were costly, and they brought honor and prestige to the ruler because only he could control the resources necessary to either make an especially elaborate building or dedicate a very costly object, such as a group of silver vases or gold vases. Rulers routinely listed their work on a temple or their dedications to a temple in the official records of their reign. And so this is one of their accomplishments that appears very frequently in the court documents. Texts describe kings pretty routinely as bringing the first bricks to a temple project. Remember that buildings are made of mud brick, and so the first basket of bricks that a king brings is really setting the foundation for a temple. It's very much like when sponsors today have a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a construction project. No one expects the president of a company to be laying a foundation, but the fact that he is there shows that he is involved in the project, usually raising the money for it. So it's very similar to what Mesopotamian kings did. Rulers in Mesopotamia were very proud of the expensive building materials that they would include in a temple. Some of these building materials include gold, imported timber, other exotic resources that they would import to the region. And we'll see a couple of examples of early rulers bringing resources from very far away in order to adorn a temple. This belief that the gods chose a city as their home and that the king of the city was their representative there connects religion and urbanization very closely in Mesopotamia. And this link, this fundamental religious link between religion and urbanization, may help explain why the idea of the city developed and spread more quickly in Mesopotamia than really anywhere else in the world. Religion was an essential aspect of daily life. If gods need cities to live in, then you are actually promoting the worship of your god by living, by building new cities. So it really becomes part of an important worldview that we can identify in Mesopotamian literature, art, and historical texts that blends the city and religion together.